We continue our study of the book of Proverbs, and this afternoon we shall look at verse 25. Verse 25 reads, "The fear of man bringeth a snare or a trap, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved." Our subject this afternoon is two kinds of fear. Two kinds of fear that are mutually exclusive, which means incompatible or irreconcilable. We have here two ancient old proverbs or instruction for the Christian believers. Each of these proverbs, as is true as a separate proverb, and they are equally true when linked together. The independent proposition that the fear of man bringeth a snare is a truth which experience has taught to many of us. The other proposition, that whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved, indeed has been found most blessed, most true, by all those who have tested it, or tasted it, or experienced it. Then, when we put the two propositions together, that the fear of man brings a snare, but trust in the Lord is the safe and certain way to avoid that snare. And this is also true. First, let us consider the foremost proverb. The fear of man brings a snare. And this is one of the great evils that Christians have to avoid. What a common evil the fear of man is. Firstly, the fear of man, the result. The fear of man came from our fear of losing human approval, the fear of incurring human wrath or anger from human. We are fearful of that. There are thousands of men and women, boys and girls, who have no fear of God, but who have great fear of man. They break the laws of God without blinking their eye, without any fear of the consequences that must ensue. Yet they are afraid to break the laws of man because they dread the punishment that might possibly follow. They are not afraid of hell, yet they are afraid of earthly prison. They dread not the arm of the Almighty God, yet they are afraid an arm of flesh. There are those who think that the fear of man is something that is very good and beneficial. Indeed it is, in some ways. Instead of bringing a snare, they think that it is the means. Fearing man may prevent much wrong or sin among mankind. We do not deny that the fear of man has its uses, that some are hindered by the fear of man, in the sense of fearing the law of the land, from committing crimes and open acts of wrong. But I must assert again that it is always a very doubtful good which fear brings to the human mind and heart. It is a known fact, statistically speaking, in prison, for example, through the so-called, they call it, especially in America, they call it the Penitentiary Institute. And I have the opportunity, through my classmate when I was in the seminary there, his church has a ministry or outreach to prisoners. These are not hardcore in that sense, prisoners, and they have two sections at different locations within the same area but separated, one for the men and one for the ladies. And my classmate, whose church has this ministry, invited me, and I wanted to go because you cannot access into it unless you have this kind of a ministry or going in, or unless you go there to visit a friend, I mean, you know, who is in prison. So I have this privilege of going there and to minister to them, and indeed, when they are in there, it seems that they are all on the way of recovery. But it is not exactly true, because we know the sternest form of discipline in the prison. They have been tried and tested, yet the prisoner has come out determined to sin again. Because I was told, you know, my friend told me that some of this, they left and they came back, either because of drugs or what have you, and all kinds of crime. And so no amount of discipline in the prison can change this sinful heart. No amount. And certainly there has been no beneficial change produced in him by such a fear. Fear to be locked up in a prison. Laws have been made with the severe penalties for their violation, yet men, women, boys and girls seem as if they transgress all the more. Love, I say, is the grand cure for the evil of human hearts, especially that love that comes from above, that comes from the Father of light, that pure and heavenly flame which is kindled only by the Holy Spirit burns up sin. But fear of man, or any other kind of fear, it torments the soul. 1 John 4:18. It does little except play and vex the soul. The next snare that the fear of man bringeth is this: it has led many into very great sins. Do we have an example of this? Plenty. Look in the New Testament, look at this person by the name of Pilate. I mention him first because there was this peculiar atrocity about his sin. You see, this man Pilate, one of the rulers, the pure and holy Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was brought before him, and after examining the Lord Jesus, what did he say? He declares, "I find no fault in this man." Luke 23:4. And then what did he do? He sent Jesus to Herod, and the result is that he says to Christ's accusers, "I have found no fault in this man, touching this thing whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet, Herod, for I send you to him." Luke 23:14-15. And then what happened? Pilate's wife warns him that she has suffered much in a dream because of Jesus, and she says, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Matthew 27:19. And then what? Next. Pilate's own interview with Christ impressed his mind, and therefore he wanted to set Jesus free if he could. But though he was a Roman governor and placed in a high position of power, realize this, he was a poor slave to the people. He was hesitant. He knew what was the right course or the right decision to make, and he wanted to take it, but he feared the consequences. The Jews, he feared, might appeal to Caesar and say that he has spared the life of the one who pretended to be king. And that means he might lose his job or lose his post. So you see, these poor, timid, contemptible creatures takes water, washes his hand, and says that he is innocent of the blood of this just person, Jesus. And the next minute, what did he do? He handed over the innocent victim to be nailed on the cross. It was the fear of man that caused Pilate's name to become infamous in the history of the world and of the Church of God, and it will be infamous to all eternity. The fear of man led him to slay the Savior. Therefore, take care, brethren, that it does not lead us to do something of the same kind. Again, in the Old Testament, long time ago, there had been a king of Israel. You remember him? The first king of Israel, who lost his crown through the fear of man. God has chosen Saul to be head over his people. But when he was commanded by God to smite the Amalekites, to destroy all that they had, what did he do? He spared the king Agag and the best of the sheep and oxen and all that was good. And he said, or an excuse, "Oh, I'm keeping all this good sheep and oxen so that I can offer it as a burnt sacrifice to God." But no, that was not the reason. Because he feared the people and obeyed their voice. 1 Samuel 15 verse 24. His fear of the people and did that which God commanded him not to do, caused him his kingdom and was given to the one who was better than he. There are many more other characters, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, both believers and unbelievers. I just want to highlight this point. Both believers and unbelievers that fell victim to the fear of man. Who else? Do you remember? If you have read your Bible in the Old Testament, Abraham, what did he do? He lied about his wife Sarah, that she is his sister. For what? Fear. He feared for his own life. You see? And then next, some more. Aaron the priest of the Lord God Almighty. You know what did he do? He commanded the people to make the golden calf to worship. Why? Fear of man. And one more from the New Testament. The bold and straightforward and forthright disciple of Jesus. Peter. How true. The fear of man bringeth a snare, bringeth a trap, even to the best of men. God save us from it and make us brave that we shall never fear any man so as to do a wrong action and bring dishonor to Christ our Savior. Another snare that comes from the fear of man is that it keeps many Christian believers who are truly converted from making a public avowal of their faith. Are they not? They are. There are many. One example from the New Testament again. The person's name is Nicodemus, because we are told Nicodemus at the first came to Jesus by night. John 3 verse 2, John 19:39. Who is Nicodemus? Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jew, perhaps a Pharisee. And then he came to Jesus by night. Why? Because he doesn't want people to know that he is meeting Jesus, because he was seeking Jesus for an answer to the way of eternal life. And then we have beside him Joseph of Arimathea. Again, we were told, John 19:38, Joseph, this Joseph of Arimathea, was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Again, fear of men. Let us not try to shelter behind these two good men, for remember, praise the Lord for His mercy upon these two men, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. Why? Because as soon as Jesus was put to death, when His cause, the cause of the gospel, the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, was at the very worst, these two men, thereafter, strengthened by the Holy Spirit indeed, or you can say they grew in maturity in their Christian faith, they came out boldly and proved their love for Jesus. And we do not read any more that they ever creep back like snails into their shells. These two men, in the mercy and grace of the Lord, thereafter came out boldly for the Lord Jesus. Having owned Christ as their Lord and Master, I have no doubt that these two men, they continue to follow Jesus whatever the consequences may have been. Brethren, you and I who are in Christ, now is the hour for a Christian to play the man for Christ, his Lord and Master. Yet, sadly, there are many true Christians who are keeping in the background because the fear of man bringeth a snare upon them. Where are you, dear friends? Where are you, brethren? Where are you, boys and girls, who are in Christ? If you are a true believer in Christ, I charge you, by the name which you bear to Christ, which you bear to Jesus, keep not back. Keep not back. Pray that the Holy Spirit will make you bold, fearless, in your testimony for your Savior, the Lord Jesus. If you love your Savior, owe Him in the midst of this wicked and perverse nation. There is one more thing I must mention briefly. The fear of man hampers or hinders the usefulness of a Christian. There are preachers who compromise, ministers who compromise in their preaching and teaching of God's word by way of sugar-coating their sermons to please the people out of fear. Then there are Christians who are afraid of giving thanks and we call it say grace before they take their food in the public. We do see that, and perhaps we ourselves are guilty of that. Of course, there are situations Christians ought to be careful in bearing the name of Christ in the public, especially if you are a Christian living in a country or a place where Christianity is opposed. I'm not saying that we should just be gung-ho and, you know, and go about all in the name of bearing a testimony for the Lord and you get yourself into unnecessary, or like what the late Reverend told me when I was commissioned as a missionary to Kenya. He says, we do not want Brother Mok to be an unnecessary martyr because there are lions in Kenya. I mean, that part is true. But of course, the lions will not want to look at me. I mean, there's nothing else that the lion can enjoy from me. But it is true. So therefore, be careful. May the Lord deliver us, ministers and all true Christians, from the fear of men everywhere, and the whole Church of Christ also. Next, my second lesson to all of us is the effective cure for the fear of man. The effective cure for the fear of man. My text says, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. It is very interesting to note that Solomon, the writer, the preacher, did not say, as we would expect, but whoso feareth the Lord shall be saved. He said, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. And if we have said that to fear the Lord shall be saved, that would be quite true and good. So what does Solomon has in mind when he wrote, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved? I submit to you, brethren, that Solomon is referring to faith. He's referring to trusting in God, which is the best cure for the covetous. Trust in the Lord, and you can then cry or declare with the psalmist, whom shall I fear? Psalm 27 verse 1. Whom shall I fear? For you will feel and have that strength from the Almighty to support you at your back. Trusting in God, we feel that we are one with God, and so we are made strong. That strength that comes from the Lord, that strength that comes from the work of the Holy Spirit in us, the believers, that breeds courage, enable us to boldly ask, if God be for us, who can be against us? That courage that comes from the Holy Spirit leads us to count the cost of doing right, of doing what is pleasing in God's sight, regardless of what others may say or think. And after counting it, we feel in God's strength we can endure, and we can patiently wait and persevere, and 1,000 times as much if necessary. And therefore we say, come what may, we will worship and serve the Lord, and with the Holy Spirit resting upon us, we march boldly on to victory in His might. So then, brethren, trust in God. That trust gives us God's strength, and consequently, it gives us courage, and it helps us to be firm in our decision, and that lifts us up above the fear of men. But then, the point of the text may also be pointing in another direction, namely, that trusting in God, we become safe. Not merely from fear, not safe from fear, but from the consequences of defying fear. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. By trusting in the Lord and doing that which is right, Christians may be a great sufferer. Yes, you may be suffering for doing righteousness or living a life of holiness and righteousness. You may suffer as a Christian, but you shall be saved. He will not, a Christian will not be a so great a sufferer as he would be if he followed the opposite direction, doing contrary to the laws of God. Brethren, never, never imagine that you can be a loser by trusting in God, by placing your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never be a loser, for God is no debtor. No debtor. No one who put their trust in God, no one who puts their confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ can say to Him that by doing so, I lose all. Whatever risk there is in doing so, in trusting in God. The risk of not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ is far greater. And every sensible man, woman will prefer to take the smaller or the least risk. Is it not true? Besides, how often it happens that if a man trusts in God and acts according to his conscience, he is not a loser at all. Many have been gainers thereby, though that ought not to be our inducement. However, brethren, if you should lose by doing the right thing, if you should suffer by doing what the Lord commands you to do, and you do it, let this assurance comfort you. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. It is much better to be saved than to be wealthy, and infinitely better to be saved for time and for eternity than to have all the luxuries and comforts of life about you, but to put your soul into danger, into jeopardy. A Christian need never to fear, never to be afraid of anybody and anything. If you really have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and you have had your sins forgiven, you have been made heir of heaven, and you are on the way to a glorious immortality. Surely, you cannot act the part of a coward as a true believer. One other pertinent point from this text I need to highlight to you is that Solomon did not say, "He that trusteth in himself, nor he that trusteth in the priest, nor he that trusteth in the pastors, ministers, nor he that perform good works and trust in them, but whoso put his trust in the Lord shall be saved." The one who is trusting in the blood and righteousness of Jesus may not always be happy. We don't deny the fact, as truly born-again believers living in this life, and we all know that the Christian will from time to time go through affliction, go through trials, go through the many sorrows of life. Health may fail, sickness comes in, poverty or whatever may come in, and even malice from family members and friends may come in and we suffer. He may sometimes be distressed, but he is always safe. Always safe. He may sometimes question his interest in Christ, may sometimes fall into the state of doubt and do not have the assurance of salvation. The true Christian may from time to time fall into that, but he or she is always safe. Brethren, keep this verse in your heart. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. He shall be saved if he is sick. If he is rich, he shall be saved. If he is poor, he shall be saved when he dies. Saved when he rises again, saved at the day of judgment, saved throughout eternity. Let us therefore come and trust in the Lord Jesus. For whoso putteth his trust or her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved forever. May the Lord grant us faith to believe. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this very simple instruction, very simple lesson for our learning. But Lord, indeed we confess how little faith we have, how weak our faith is. And therefore, Lord, we ask for thy mercy, that thou will increase our faith, that thou will help us not to doubt, that thou will help us not to turn away from thee, but to diligently seek after thee, and to trust in thee with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So help us, we pray, in this new week, and we ask that thou will pour forth thy Spirit upon us in greater measure, in greater portion, that we may put our trust in the Lord Jesus, and we shall be saved indeed. Hear this our prayer, for Jesus' sake. Amen.